Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Time for Deal or No Deal.
I signed for them after the Euros. After my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done? Like I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
This is where we rate the likelihood of some of the transfer rumours that are happening out there at the moment and how real or otherwise this may actually be. Owen, where are we starting?
Well, we'll start with the news on the back of a lot of the newspapers this morning, which is Jack Grealish to Manchester United. We've got a number of different newspapers, which are right beside you, I think, this morning, Jared, telling us all about Jack Grealish's...
Oh, I just gave you a hospital pass, did I? This is my bit where I'm supposed to read. The look of shock on your face there was like... You were like that taxi
driver. I don't know where to start.
He's a pro. Sancho,
we start with
you were like that taxi driver in the BBC a couple of years ago who got brought in. It was like, oh, we're joined now by the economics correspondent. He's like, what? No, I'm here to pick somebody up. Right, okay. We start the window with Borussia Dortmund rejecting an £89 million sterling bid from Manchester United for Jadon Sancho, according to Bild, the Telegraph report. There is a belief in Manchester that a compromise can be reached between that offer and the £110 million asking price. Should Manchester United shut up and pay up? How close to £110 million will Manchester United go? And will this deal happen? Nathan, as our guest this morning, deal or no deal?
No deal.
Right.
It'll be one of Sancho or Grealish. Maybe Grealish been that little bit cheaper. Might end up... like you can't see... where are they going to play both of them if they sign them? If you already have Martial, Greenwood, Rashford,
I don't think
Fernandez, Pogba.
Yeah, so you can bear in mind you're going to have 60 games next year, and the first thing that Solskjaer said at the weekend was, after they qualified, next year we're not going to be able to play the young lads in the Europa League. We're going to have to be on it midweek every week, and that's the next step up. Do we have the squad there for that? We don't at the moment. Like, Grealish can literally play in any of the five positions apart from an out-and-out number nine. You'd be happy in a, from week to week to say, OK, this week you're going to play on the left side of a front three or the right side of a front three. Or you can actually play in any of those midfield positions because he's with the right players around him, right? It's not his best position, but he would be fine in any of those games, particularly in the league matches now at Old Trafford that we're going to start seeing them win again, you know, 2-0, 3-0 against whoever Watford's replacement are going to be against Villa. Those matches where it's actually grand. You don't actually need to win. You don't need to be at it because it's not Liverpool.
Yeah, I'd agree on Grealish that he can cover pretty much every spot. It would be a totally different scenario for him where he's not playing every week, though, where he's probably having to come in, make an impression and try and fight for his place in the team all the time, which is a very different dynamic. But listen, maybe Manchester United and the Glazers and Ed Woodward are going to get this right and they do go and sign Jack Grealish and Jadon Sancho. And if they do, well, then you'd have to think they're going to be very, very close to Liverpool and Manchester City next season. And maybe there's a spot in place of Martial, who'd be the one of the three that still not be fully convinced by. You could move Rashford into the centre and play Grealish or Sancho out in the wing. But it feels like it's going to be a very tight transfer window. I know it's open until October. And to get both of them, to spend £200 million on two attacking players in the team that really needs a defensive holding central midfielder and a couple of defenders, seems a little bit risky.
There's also a situation here where Manchester United and Borussia Dortmund need to leave this negotiation on good terms, because we're going to be coming back in 2 years' time for Jude Bellingham to Manchester United for £100 million. And then after that, there'll be another kid 2 years later than that. And this is the constant conveyor belt that Manchester United will find themselves in. Like, are we parking the Manchester United tax as well? That say they're going to reject an £89 million bid, as you said there, Ger. do they accept an £89 million bid from literally every other club in Europe, except it's Manchester United, so let's add another 20 million quid onto that. Are the days of paying the extra few million because you're United gone? Because I was certainly under the impression that potentially they were, because look what you can get through your own academy. Look at the talent that comes in the shape of Mason Greenwood over the past season. You clearly do not get as much of an impact as you might expect in terms of improvement from spending 100 million quid on that United team.
Go back to the Harry Maguire transfer saga, and they ended up paying the fee that Leicester said was the fee at the start. So which of these fees is more likely is a question. Is it more likely to be 89 or 110 million?
110.
I think so too. I think that like Man United can do this and they can drag this whole thing out. But that's the fee, that's the price, and that's what they're going to have to pay. The Mirror this morning report that Villa will not sell Jack Grealish for less than 80 million. The Independent report that Man United have told the English midfielder that he will not start every game as Ole rotates his midfield options if he makes the move. On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely is it that Grealish will join Manchester United? Nathan, first.
8, I would say. I don't think they'll get 80 million from. I know Villa are in a position where they don't need to sell and could make life quite uncomfortable for Jack Grealish as the hometown boy and all that. But I think if they got 65 million, they could probably let him go. Where is he going to be guaranteed first team football week in, week out? If it's Manchester United or Manchester City, it'd be a similar scenario, you'd imagine, at Manchester City. Sort of what the likes of Bernardo Silva do, where they pop up here and there and play a lot of the big games, but don't start every week. So are you going to say Villa?
I think it's more of a 3 or a 4, Nathan. I think that it comes down to a Sancho or Grealish situation. And I'm not sure if Jack Grealish is as attractive an option as he is coming across in some of the newspaper reports. I'm not sure if Manchester United are actually going to splash out on him. I think that Jadon Sancho makes perfect sense. You're turning your attack into top quality. Even though I don't think the level of improvement is worth 110 million quid, it would be a very Manchester United thing to do. I think they're going to not bottle the Grealish signing, but I can see Grealish not going to a top four club, certainly this summer.
I think if I was going to be spending that amount of money, I'd like to have him have a year where he's not in the papers for bad behaviour. I want someone who's going to come to the club, improve the team, but also abide by the rules and be available for every single game, not because there's any legal difficulties hanging over him. So I would be anxious if I was Man United to be going the Jadon Sancho direction first, give Grealish another season and see if he is as good as he thinks he is. And then, like, the price isn't going to go up that much in a year, is it?
No, but maybe going to Manchester United sparks that change in attitude. As you say, maybe he does believe the hype a little bit when he's at Aston Villa and he's the big man around town and his focus is on what it needs to be. Whereas if you're at Manchester United and you're playing twice a week, Champions League, every match is important, that maybe then you've got a little bit more focus than when you're at Villa and you're around all your mates all the time.
That's fair enough if I'm risking 5 million, but if I'm risking 80 million or 65 million or whatever the difference is, I'm not sure. Next one is, could Philip Coutinho be an Arsenal player by the end of the window? In Spain, Sport report that the London side are one of the clubs chasing the Brazilian. The reported deal would involve paying a 20 million loan fee to Barca and covering most of his 200 grand a week wages. The attacker is said to have been asked to take a pay cut by Arsenal and he has asked for time to consider his options.
Why on earth would Arsenal do this?
Because they're dumb.
He's a real Arsenal player. You could imagine him playing for Arsenal.
This would be one of the stupidest moves that a modern Arsenal board could possibly do. The most important thing that they could possibly do this summer is to try and get Mesut Ozil off the books, but they will fail miserably to do that. If Philippe Coutinho ends up coming on this sort of money and is a flop, they will then have two Mesut Ozils or two Philippe Coutinhos, whatever way you want to look at it. The other piece of business they need to do is keep Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. If they manage to sort out Ozil and keep Aubameyang, it will be a spectacular summer. Do not add any more problems to your platter of issues that you already have at this football club. Imagine if this is actually Coutinho a problem, though?
I can see it being a problem. Bad professional. I understand he's had injury problems, and there's also a lot of revisionism among Liverpool supporters as to how good or how great he was at the time. He was their best player for several seasons and generally did it week in, week out. All right, he couldn't elevate them to where they've got right now, but he knows the Premier League inside out. He knows how to be effective.
You're saying he was essentially like Kevin De Bruyne that's how you described De Bruyne a bit earlier on.
And nobody get Philip Coutinho player of the year.
You're saying that Coutinho was as good as De Bruyne.
No, I'm most definitely not saying that Philippe Coutinho was as good as Kevin De Bruyne. If he was, he would still be at Liverpool. But I'm saying he was a very, very good Premier League player and was Liverpool's best player for a couple of seasons. So I wouldn't totally write him off.
A problem for Arsenal is somebody with an injury history like Philippe Coutinho, though, is the point I'm trying to make. He's had ankle problems, he's had hamstring injuries, he's had back trouble, I think, at one stage, even though I think that was kind of minor enough at Liverpool. That is not the sort of player that Arsenal want to be bringing in. They've always topped the injury
Give me a legitimacy rating on this one. How legitimate a story is this?
Well, because Arsenal have been prone to do stupid things in the past, you'll probably give it a 6, but hopefully it's a 2.
I'm giving it an 8. I think that there's a good chance that this might actually happen. I really hope it does happen. Would he improve Arsenal?
On paper, if you're playing FIFA, Ger, of course he does. Like if you're playing FIFA or football, maybe not even Football Manager because the AI is so bloody good in that game, but on FIFA, he probably improves your team. In real life, no. Because I just think that the 200k a week is just such a huge gamble that you're putting chips into the middle of the table and you're not sure if you're going to get anything out of it. I just think the injury history and his form are both quite worrying things.
Yeah, I think if he's fit, he improves Arsenal. You know, he plays in that Mesut Ozil position, and if he can play there every single week, he definitely improves Arsenal. But Arsenal are in a funny position in that you just feel 3 months into the season, we'll all be looking again going, why would David Luiz and Granit Xhaka starting every single match? Like, they're maybe the positions they need to strengthen.
Yeah, and I think that it's been a while since he has actually been that player who did do that for Liverpool. Mm. He has not succeeded at the two clubs that are currently kind of saying no thanks over the last while. So I don't think it's going to happen. Or it shouldn't happen for you if you're Arsenal. The Guardian report that Champions League qualification has given Chelsea the green light to step up their pursuit of Kai Havertz. The 21-year-old has told Bayern he wants to move. The fee is expected to be between 80 and 90 million euros. How exciting is the prospect of a post-splurge beefed up Frank Lampard Chelsea side? Do they risk corrupting the project by flooding it with big money signings? Nathan?
I would say this looks like it's definitely going to happen. There's been so much speculation about it. Like, this is up in 9 out of 10 territory. And it's unbelievably exciting if you're a Chelsea supporter. But like Frank Lampard, I know you spoke about this yesterday, the pressure that's going to be on him next season, if they've signed Werner, Havertz and Ziyech to add to an already exciting frontline, and if they don't improve defensively, he's putting a lot of pressure on his shoulders. But yeah, they're going to be brilliant to watch, you would expect, considering right now Pulisic looks as though he's going to have to play. Like, he looks the pick of all the players that are there right now. And Tammy Abraham scored, what, 15, 16 goals this season? So they're going to have any amount of options. But if they don't improve defensively, it's all going to be irrelevant. However, if you look at some of the statistics, as to, you know, I know they conceded well over 50 goals. I think it was 11 or 12 set pieces they conceded. Their goalkeeper should have saved something like 10 of them, according to his XG. You correct those two things, suddenly maybe it's a whole lot better.
I can't wait for a November night at Anfield when Chelsea's title bid eventually falls by the wayside and you've got Olivier Giroud running on for the last 15 minutes trying to grab an equaliser, and Martin Tyler is like, well, that's their title challenge fizzled out for another year. If this thing doesn't go right, if it's not a legitimate title challenge, I agree, it's pressure time for Frank Lampard. But if this, it's 9 out of 10, as Nathan says, possibly 10 out of 10. This could get done in the next couple of days.
Yeah, it's going to be.
It looks like
it's going to
happen.
Leicester City have secured a contract to keep James Maddison, 23, at the club until 2024, it says here, on 110 grand a week. Should he have pushed for a move? Will he still move this summer, sooner rather than later? Was this just about securing a good deal and a buyout?
I don't think he'll move this summer now, having signed the new contract. And I don't think he should move either. He's at a very strong club. They'll probably be playing Europa League football next season. And I think he's not quite ready for, you know, he's a few years younger than Jack Grealish is, so he's not quite ready, I don't think, for a United or a City or a Tottenham. But eventually, when he does go, I think he'd be worth it. I keep going back to any amount of interviews, and he just seems to have a big, big personality, somebody who can be that bit of a leader in a dressing room when he goes in there. But Leicester would be desperate to keep them. And also, Leicester, again, challenged for a Champions League position. You would expect they'll go and try and buy this summer, as well as they might lose somebody. You'd expect they'll go and invest quite a bit of money and try and kick on and finish inside the top four next season.
Well, speaking of who they're going to lose, sticking with Leicester, Ben Chilwell is reported to be close to the exit after they failed to secure Champions League football. The Sun report that Chelsea and Manchester United both want him. Owen, is he good enough to make that step up, and who needs him more?
They possibly both need him. I think that he'd be a fantastic addition to both. Is he better than Luke Shaw? Is he better than Marcus Alonso? I think yes on both counts, and age is on his side. Legitimacy rating, what are we giving this, about a 6.5? 7. I think that Nathan makes a good case about Leicester actually being an attractive enough place to stay at the moment. But I guess you've got Champions League football guaranteed to be joined either of them. And he starts, doesn't he? I think he starts for either team. It makes personal sense for him too.
I think where actually Maddison might miss out, because there's a few similar type players making moves, actually, to have a left back of his quality right now, there's such a premium in that Chelsea, Manchester United, and probably Manchester City could all do with an upgrade at left back. So if you can somehow get the three of those into some sort of a bidding war, yeah, maybe this is the summer to cash in.
City had Danilo. They swapped him for the Portuguese guy from Juventus, who technically, because that was all part of the same deal, was like 60 million. Like, yeah, I don't know. That's
well, it's basically Mendy or Zinchenko, and Mendy's both injury record and at times it seems questionable levels of professionalism and popping up here, there and everywhere all across the world means you'd wonder, is he going to be the player we thought he was going to be and that Pep Guardiola thought he was going to be? Zinchenko, I always find, is, you know, it's incredibly solid. Like, does his job, but maybe a club like Manchester City are always going to be looking for a bit of X factor at left back.
Yeah, need something more. That's like, it is going to be $500 million before they settle on a good four at the back that are, this is our top four defenders here. And even then, they're not going to be the best in the Premier League. So last one, Dejan Lovren has swapped Liverpool for Zenit. News broke this morning, Adam Lallana has moved to Brighton. Does Jurgen Klopp need to do a clear out to stay at the top? Is that tier of players, is Shaqiri still at the club?
Yeah, he is, yeah. Yeah. An expectation, I think Shaqiri might go as well. That'd probably be it, though. Origi would be the only other one who's sort of in that category of players who's never fully convinced that he's a starting 11 player, but is always among the substitutes. But I think they might keep Origi, but they're going to have to go and sign. I know Klopp has said they're not going to go huge into the market, but they're definitely going to have to go and sign players. Like, they need another centre-back now. You need four quality centre-backs. If you think, if Virgil van Dijk were to get injured, and suddenly you have Joe Gomez and Joel Matip, maybe you're happy with that. But who's your backup then? I know they were linked with Lloyd Kelly, who might actually be the perfect fit for them. Played with Bournemouth, young player, came from Bristol last summer. Played a lot for Bournemouth at centre-back over the last few weeks, but played at left-back as well. So actually, as a young English player, can play centre-back or left-back. Maybe you're covering two bases there. But he's definitely going to have to sign one or two more players, even to replace Lallana. I know Shaqiri barely played, but they look very light. And as you look at the calendar that was put out yesterday for the new season, there's not a free week at any stage, whether it's international football, Premier League, Champions League. There aren't going to be any Wednesdays off for any of these players where you're getting 7 days between matches. So they could end up looking a little bit light unless they sign two or three.
Yeah, that was why they should have all had the extended preseason that I was banging on about 5 weeks ago. But anyway, and then on Brighton confirming the signing of Lallana, the Liverpool contract is over. It's a 3-year deal at Brighton. Jason Malumbi is going to go back apparently to Brighton after his spell at Millwall, and Aaron Connolly has scored a brilliant goal at the weekend, starting to look like he's going to get a fair bit of game time. Should we see Malumbi playing a lot of football next season in the Premier League?
I don't know if Lallana's arrival is going to massively affect Malumbi. In fact, playing with a player and character like Adam Lallana could only be a good thing for Jason Malumbi. It is whether he gets in ahead of like Dale Stevens and Davey Proper, who've been their two central midfielders for the vast majority of the season. Yves Bissouma is in there as well. So he's certainly not going to get as much game time, you would assume, as he's got this season. It's a question of whether he's better off going back to the Championship and playing week in, week out, or biding his time, hoping that he gets a few minutes here and there, gets an injury, gets into the side and shows he's worth keeping it. But I'd be very surprised if Jason Malumbi starts the season as first choice central midfielder at Brighton.
All right. That's the return proper of Deal or No Deal. Nathan, thanks very much for being with us.
Cheers, lads.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.